Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and beheld, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We will stop there with the reading, and I'm dealing tonight with this subject, echoes from the burning bush. Echoes from the burning bush. I just want to have a word of prayer before we preach this evening. Father, we thank you tonight for your many blessings. I appreciate your power, and I appreciate your anointing. Lord, we felt it today. We have felt it all this week when we've opened the blessed scriptures and tried to preach your word. Now, I pray tonight there are specific needs that are here this evening, and there are people that need their lives changed. And I'm so thankful you're still changing lives. You're still saving souls. You're still healing people. You're still performing miracles. And Lord, I thank you because of who you are. You are the great I Am. And the same one that sent Moses and talked to him through a bush is the same one that is here tonight to meet every single need that we have. I ask that you would anoint me from on high. I ask that you would help me to preach. I ask that you would help me, Lord. I just want you to talk through me, Lord, tonight. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't really have an introduction tonight, but I want to get right into the heart of the sermon. Four things I want us to notice about this bush, about this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice, first of all, this bush was chosen by God. This bush was chosen by God. It was no extraordinary sight to see thorn bushes on the backside of a desert. In fact, they were very commonplace. We know these bushes range from 2 to 4 feet in height, and they were thorn bushes, and like I said, they were just common, ordinary bushes that were there, whether they be an aggravation, whether they be ugly, but we do know for sure they were common and they were ordinary. But I'm thankful tonight that God chose that bush, that common, ordinary bush, to do a miraculous task. And God is still using common, ordinary things to get His job done. Whether it be a staff in the hand of Moses, whether it be a sling in the hand of a David, whether it be a sword in the hand of a Gideon, God still uses common, ordinary materials. God still uses common, ordinary people to do extraordinary tasks. Now, these thorn bushes were just worthless. They were just basically routine. They were just part of nature. We all know where these thorns come from, don't you? You know where they came from. Thorns came from the fall of man. We know in the Garden of Eden, whenever man sinned, that God pronounced a fourfold curse. He pronounced, first of all, a curse upon the woman. He said, woman, because the man has fallen, because sin has came into their life, that they will have pain during childbirth. He also pronounced a curse upon men. He said they would have to earn their labor by the sweat of their brow. He also pronounced a curse upon the serpent, where he had to crawl around on his belly for the rest of his life. But he also pronounced a curse upon the earth, and that curse was thorns and thistles. The Garden of Eden did not have any thorns. The Garden of Eden did not have any of those things. But when sin entered into the picture, the curse was manifested through thorns and through thistles. And just as an aside, it was no accident that the crown of thorns was placed upon the head of Jesus Christ. Because when it was, that means He took our curse. He took the curse upon Himself and died for our sins. And that's a good sermon. I'll preach that one of these days. But what I'm trying to get to you in this first point is, God looked down at the backside of the desert and saw a common, ordinary bush. And He reached down, saw something that was cursed, saw something that had no value, saw something that was worthless, and He chose it to do a job. And you know who I'm looking at tonight? I'm looking at common, ordinary people that are worthless in the sight of God. But aren't you thankful, and I am included in that, But aren't you glad this evening that He chose us? We are a chosen generation, a holy nation. Glory to God, a peculiar people who should show forth the praises unto Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are worthless. We are common. We are ordinary. We are just plain, ordinary people. But thank God, God reached way down to where we were and chose us to do extraordinary things in Him. He chose this bush. And if God through a bush can produce a Moses, surely God can do something through us. First of all, this bush was chosen by God. Secondly, this bush was continual in its burning. Continual in its burning. This bush was set afire, but it was not consumed. It kept burning continually. Now, I don't know, and I'm studying out the grammatical form of this passage, but I can almost imagine in my mind, Jim, that whenever Moses left this spot, maybe he went back every so often. And I believe when he went back, he probably saw the bush still burning. Because the bush did not go out. It was not consumed. And that's exactly the way a child of God is supposed to be. Whenever God looks at us and He sets our soul afire with the Holy Ghost and with power, the flame that is set in our heart should never burn out. It should burn continually. Some of the people I know, most of them burn on Mother's Day. They burn on Easter. Having a good time, aren't we? They burn on Christmas. But I'm talking about committed people that are consistent in their burning. I'm talking about people that no matter what service it is, whether it be a Thursday night, a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, they are here, their fire is burning deep within their soul, and no matter what Satan throws at their way, because of the fire started by God, thank God it'll never go out! Hallelujah. There's never a substitute for a committed life. Never a substitute. And God commands us, and if we're chosen by Him, we should burn continually. Amen. Most people today I know, though, are like the sparklers we had on July 4th here. Boy, you set them on fire. Boy, they burn hot. They burn bright for about 30 seconds, and just as quick as you set them off, they're gone. Folks, I don't know what kind of religion you got. I don't know what kind of salvation you got. But the salvation I got as a 5-year-old boy is still good today. Why? Because it came from God. Start a fire in my soul. And the only way that I can keep that burning bright is to keep the ashes out of there. The things that were burned, that God burned off that are in the past. Keep that fire stoked. Keep it hot and keep it bright. You say, Brian, how do I do that? It comes from being consistent. It comes from being committed. It means coming to church whenever the doors are open. It means reading your Bible. It means praying every day. Folks, God wants us to burn bright. And He wants us to be consistent. Hallelujah. The old preacher George Whitfield, I know this story's been told before, but one day he was preaching, and he preached all day long. And he started preaching in the evening, and he got to his room, and he was going to stay that night, and he preached all day. He was tired, and the sun was setting. And after he got done preaching, the people just kept saying, "Preach, preach, George, preach!" So he kept on preaching until there was no more light. And he went up into his room, and there was a little window there. And he could hear the people outside. "Preach!" Man, I'd love to hear that. Wouldn't you, Cal? They said, "Preach! Preach! Keep preaching!" And so he opened up the window, and he lit a candle, and he said, "Okay, here's what I'll do. I'll preach until the candle goes out." And so he lit that candle, and he began to preach, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, till the candle became as a liquid wax, and the candle burned out and flickered. And it was extinguished. And George Whitfield went over to his bed and bowed his head and died and went to be in the arms of Jesus. And they always said, in years following his death, they said George Whitfield preached until the fire went out. That's a testimony of a fire that burned continually. And that's what I want in my life more than anything in this world. The fire that started those many years ago. I want it to burn bright. I want it to burn hot. I want it to be consistent. And I want to preach. I want to serve Him until the fire goes out. Amen. Hallelujah. It's continual in its burning. It's chosen by God. But this bush also contained the voice of God. Contained the voice of God. Now, it was not unusual or uncommon for there to be a bush on fire. In the Midian desert, it was so hot and so dry that if there was any sort of heat or spark or any, you know, the three elements that it takes to make a fire, if there was any one of those things that came together, it was very easy for one of those bushes to be set on fire. But within a matter of seconds, it'd be gone. So probably at first glance, remember Moses looked at this bush on fire, he didn't think nothing about it. Because it wasn't unusual. But whenever the bush started talking, I can see him scratching his head. Man, I've seen a lot of burning bushes, but I haven't seen a talking bush. The bush started talking to him. The voice of the Lord came out of the midst of the bush. Not only did this bush burn, but it had something to say. We have a pastor friend of ours, Denver Daniel. We've talked about him. We need to get him down here and preach sometime. He's a great man of God. He just don't want to leave his church, and I understand that. Man, he can preach. And he comes up with some of the greatest, wisest sayings I've ever known. And he said this, and it's so simple, but man, it's so true. He said, you know what? There's a lot of people who feel they have to say something. But then there's some people who really have something to say. And I thought about that, and I thought about that going back to this message. You know, how many people are out there serving the Lord that are Christians, but yet don't have nothing to say? You know why? Because their flame is not burning bright, and they're not letting God speak through them. It wasn't the bush that was speaking. It was God through the bush. And it's very important for us to realize that there are hundreds of people we will come in contact with every day of our lives. You will meet people at work. You will meet your family. You will meet people just in passing by. And you know what? They are desperate and they need someone to say something. Amen. Something that is real. Something that will last. And most of all, they need to know that God is speaking through you. You are just a common, ordinary vessel. But with God's fire in your soul and you allowing Him to speak through you, God can do great things. I don't want to embarrass her for anything because she doesn't want the glory. And I realize that. But Jamie Bacon asked her, folks, you don't realize what a blessing we've got that their family's here with us. And I don't know how long they'll be here. I hope they're here for the rest of their life. But they're here now, and so we're going to praise God for that. But God used her. God used her. God spoke through her to speak to my father-in-law in a living room, a common, ordinary situation. But what turned out to be an ordinary day turned out to be extraordinary for my family and my wife's family. Because Jamie said, Lord, the fire of God's burning within me, and wherever you go, I will go. And God said, I know you don't know where this house is at, but you start off and I'll show you. And she ended up on my father-in-law's front doorstep. My wife was there, her family was there, and she went in and talked to my father-in-law and led him to the Lord. He came out shouting and praising God. Hey, folks, that's what matters in this life. It's not about what we can do, but it's what God can do through us. Through us. On Sunday, I requested prayer for, and last week, rather, I requested prayer for a man by the name of Everett Robinson that I've preached to many times and have minister to, but yet he still didn't know the Lord. He was from Beach Fork and is more faithful than most church members out there. But yet he never gave his heart to God. He backslidden on God and he just didn't feel it. He wanted to know that he was saved, but couldn't pray through. And
that Sunday that I mentioned that Jamie went up to Veterans Hospital in Chillicothe. And when she got up there, he was asleep and he couldn't be woke up. So she said, "Can I pray over him?" And so she began to pray, and the Holy Spirit came. And yet, Mom and the deacons and some of the others from the church went up and visited him on the very next day. And they said, "Hey, Everett, have you been praying?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Someone was here yesterday, and they prayed over me, they told me. And I woke up, and I began to pray and ask the Lord into my heart." And they said, "Everett, do you know that everything's right?" He said, "Yes, I know I'm saved. I know I'm ready for heaven." Folks, I'm telling you, if we'll just let God speak through us, God can do extraordinary things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the bush started talking to him, Moses found out a couple of things. He found out, first of all, who he was. He kept asking, "Who am I? Who am I?" And you notice the Lord never did tell him. You know why? Because it wasn't about him. He said, "Well, then who are you?" Oh, that's good. He gave him a great answer. He said, "Just tell him I am. That's all you need." Is God our healer? Yes. Is He our salvation? Yes. But the greatest thing about it is He's I am. That means whatever. He is. Hallelujah. If you need a financial miracle, He is. If you need healing, He is. If you need to be saved, He is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And finally, not only was this bush chosen by God, it was continual in its burning and contained the voice of God, but it also changed Moses' life forever. You know what I like about this? Moses never got over the bush. He never got over the fire that started in his soul. Never got over it. You know why? Because the fire that was started that day, and when the Lord started that fire on the bush, it transferred over into Moses' heart, and he carried it with him wherever he went. Amen. Through that, he found out the will of God for his life. And that bush changed his life. God, through the bush, changed his life. You know why we're here on this world? You know why we're here in this earth? You know why God has placed us here? Number one, is to worship Him. Number two, is to give our heart fully to Him. But number three, is to impact and change someone else's life. And that third one gets left off. We think after we're saved and that's it, then we don't have to do nothing else. You're wrong. You're wrong. If you truly are a Christian, if you truly are a disciple of God, you will do what you can to impact other people's lives. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because this church goes above and beyond to impact people's lives. Impact people's lives. You're changing people's lives every day. Do you realize that? I'm not exaggerating. We've got the numbers to prove it. There are 10 to 12,000 sermons that are downloaded every month from this church. All over the world. That's a month. A month. 12,000 people all over the world. Some 5,000 alone in New York and California. Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, where our boys are fighting in harm's way. The messages from Rubyville are going there. Nigeria, China, Australia. I could go on and on. Just about every country in the known world that has internet access, they are listening to Rubyville Community Church. I'm talking about changing people's lives. I'm talking about being the vessel that God can use. You know why? Because we've never got over the fire. Hallelujah! We've never got over the change that comes whenever God starts a fire in our hearts. And I've never gotten over being saved. I know He's blessed me beyond measure. He's blessed me with a great church. He's blessed me with a wonderful family. He's blessed me with a wonderful heritage. But if I didn't have any of those things, I've never gotten over giving my heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. Never got over the change that He made in my life. You say, Brian, how do you know that Moses never lost sight of this experience? He was 80 years old whenever God lit a fire in his soul. 80 years old when he was on the mountain. 80 years old whenever the bush began to burn but was not consumed. But 40 years later, he was 120. And he wrote the book of Deuteronomy. And that book is a book of remembrance. It's a book to tell the children of Israel what they've been through and what they're supposed to do to keep the laws. And you know, Moses could have said anything he wanted to. He could have went to all these different stories, the Red Sea experience, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He could have went to the water coming out of the rock. He could have went to the manna. He could have went to all of these things to explain to them how wonderfully he felt and just about what all the things they needed to remember. But you know what he said in Deuteronomy 33:16 at the end of that book? He said, "For the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush." He said, folks, it all goes back to the fire. More importantly than the fringes. More importantly than the rainbow. More importantly than the Red Sea experience. More importantly than all those things, I want you to remember the fire that started on the mountain. Because the fire that started in the bush is transferred to my heart, and now I'm trying to impact and change your life. Folks, I'm telling you what, never get over the change that comes in your life. Hallelujah. Never gotten over it. I'll never get over it. The change that comes in your life if you're just willing to be a vessel. Today, after I preached this sermon, the man that was leading the service, he's from Vanceburg. His name's Bob Smith. He's been saved for about 10 years. And he said, "I remember 10 years ago the change that came in my life." He said, "My daughter came home from church. And I wasn't saved. And she came in the house right after Sunday school. And she said, 'Daddy,' she said, 'I gave my heart to Jesus today.' He said, 'Would you go to heaven with us?' He said, 'Brian, that's all it took. God spoke to that little child. And it changed a man's life forever. Now he's the general Sunday school superintendent of our conference. Changing lives for God. Because someone was willing to be set aflame. And to be willing to be used of God. No matter how unworthy you think you are, God's chosen you. No matter how unworthy or what you've done in your life, the past that you've done, the baggage that you're carrying of sin, God can change you. You know how He does it? He burns everything out of you. By setting your heart afire with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know I've tried to do my best to keep the fire burning, but I've failed. I've failed many times. Like the old song says, the flame has flickered. It has. At one point in time, I didn't want my light to shine. I didn't want the fire to be there. So I let the ashes of the past and the ashes of sin come up and extinguish that fire. But I'm thankful God said, "I still got the fire and it's still available. If you come back to me, give your heart back to me, I'll reignite the fire in your soul." And folks, He can do that for you.